This is a production of Money Honey Media. All advice in this podcast is general in nature. It should not be applied to your personal circumstances without first discussing with a tax professional.
I'm Gemma Corley.
And I'm Deanne Baranoff.
And this is the Accidental Bookkeeper NDIS podcast, brought to you by Opal Plan Management, where we have fun unpacking the boring but necessary things you need to know to run your NDIS business. Hi Dee, welcome back.
Hi Jay, thanks. Good to be here, and I have returned.
Well done, I know. I'm impressed, Dee.
It was a close call.
No, you did really well the first time. We did have a bit of a problem with the microphone last time, but everything seems hopefully to be a bit better this time. So, all right. So this time we're going to talk about this NDIS review. So it's been a pretty busy couple of weeks in the old NDIS world since we were on here last, hasn't it?
It has been.
Mm, yeah. So where are you up to with catching up on all of this NDIS review stuff?
Not really that far, but we'll see how we go.
So we do know the NDIS review first came out in December last year. When Bill Shorten did announce that the review had been done.
Yes.
And there were 26 recommendations on that review. Now, I want you to recite all 26, Dee.
That's great, because I don't know them.
No, all right. So what we have had a look at what those, in fact, if you are interested in that, there is definitely a lot of stuff online about this NDIS review. Of the 26 recommendations, you can go into the like real deep dive into it, or you can go into like a much simpler dive into it. And there's also a lot of articles that have been written. So we are definitely aware of some of the things that were brought up. What were the main topics that you found out of the 26 recommendations that were of interest, Dee?
Oh, I don't know. There's lots of things, I think. Sorry, you put me
on
the spot.
That's okay. It's fine. It's meant to be a conversation. It's all good. You've got some stuff there about that sort of did a summary. So do you want to run through those? I think it was like four main key areas that we were sort of looking at.
I guess the key findings that I've got written down here were the accessibility of the NDIS to the participants.
Yep.
Their outcomes, so making it a successful outcome for them. Hoping that the inconsistencies, they can refine them so they're not inconsistent.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Making the provider sustainability and a quality workforce so that they get their help and it's a consistent quality of services that they can access. Mm-hmm. And safeguarding the quality of it. So some more rules and regulations in place to make sure that providers are probably doing the right thing.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think it goes without saying there have been problems with the NDIS. I don't think anyone would say, oh, it's been running perfectly. And I feel like having really tried to understand what all this review stuff is about, one thing that it really came home to me when I heard people talking about it is to put a bit of power back into the participant. At the moment, a lot of it is all around the money grab that seems to... And I'm not suggesting everyone who's an NDIS provider is there to grab money, but there definitely has been some people who are not using it the right way, or providers who are taking advantage of the, you know, the ability to have this big facility and this big lot of money. Ethically, there are some things that I think we all don't feel particularly comfortable with. And I feel like this whole review is to try and address those things. And having listened to some people who are participants speaking, they're quite keen to get some power back into their own hands as well, I think.
I think it's probably so everybody's all on one page, including the governments, the state governments and the federal government as well.
So we were talking about that before, about the state government and the federal government and how they have not really probably interacted the way that it was intended in the first instance.
No.
So when the NDIS, like when you think about it, health is provided by the state governments. It's actually like the Department of Health, where, you know, our hospitals are run through there, our, you know, doctors and all of that go through there. But the NDIS is federal. So there's definitely been a nice, well, I feel like the state governments have in some respects found some little windfall gain by having the NDIS there to provide services that probably...
That maybe they should have been,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that seems to be very much the case when we hear a lot of this. It's probably not so much for those people who are, like, quite severely disabled. It's more for people who might be on that cusp of are they permanently disabled or is it just something that some intervention?
It's interventions that will help them.
Yeah.
And then they might not have to stay in the system in the long term.
Exactly. And having listened to people speaking about the system, it is designed for people who are permanently disabled, who are going to need this ongoing help for the rest of their life. Now, does someone who has some development delays as a five-year-old necessarily going to need to be in the NDIS system for the rest of their life? Maybe they are, but maybe they're not.
That's right.
And I think this is what they're trying to address as one of the issues.
Yeah,
one of the many.
Absolutely. Mm. And maybe not diagnosing off labels, actually looking at each person and their situation.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things as well that, you know, again, every disability is different. Like no one has a label, really, do they? And, I mean, what supports do they need? That should really be very individual, and what they want to achieve out of it, what that participant wants to achieve, should really they should have some power to you know, look after that themselves.
Yep, and have some say in it.
Mm. So what's happened in the last week or so is that the first round of addressing this NDIS review is some legislation that was brought into Parliament on the 27th of March. That bill is called the National Disability Insurance Scheme Amendment, in brackets, Getting the NDIS Back on Track, Number 1 Bill of 2024.
That's a mouthful.
So there you go. Now, it obviously has only gone before the House of Representatives at the moment. It will have a lot of debate about this bill. I don't expect that it will necessarily run through as smoothly as some other bills do, but in saying that, there isn't anything too much in it that I found, because I have actually read the explanatory memorandum. There's not that much in it that I found that was bad or bad for the NDIS at all.
I think it's probably just about refining the terms and terminology that they use now to give a bit more of a description, I think.
It is. Now, it doesn't address all 26 issues. I think it addresses 4 of the issues that were raised in there. So one of the things it doesn't address is it doesn't address registration. Where I know there's been a lot of talk about registering every person who provides to the NDIS. That will come in a future bill. It also doesn't talk about the navigator role, which is something that as plan managers we're a little interested in, because apparently our job is going to disappear.
We're going to redefine the support coordinator, the local area coordinators and plan managers.
Yeah, so that hasn't been brought into this new legislation as yet. So as I said, this is number one amendment bill. There will be more to come. So I guess what I would like to do is just talk a little bit about what some of the things are that are in there. Now, it is 67 pages worth of explanatory memorandum. I'm not going to go through every 67 pages, but a couple of things that I thought were interesting. And the first one I want to talk about is how they've first of all, again, what we're wanting them to do, or what they're trying to achieve here, is to make it so that the actual NDIS is a sustainable entity. It's not something that gets blown out of proportion that we can no longer afford to run. So they really need to pare it back and make sure that it's being run the way it should be, and that the things that it provides is for the benefit of the participants and not for the benefit of some other person or people or provider or for things that aren't really related to the disability, which seems to be another thing. So they've brought in this first thing, and they talked about a NDIS support. Now, do you want to talk about that a little bit, the NDIS supports and what they are? I will talk if you would like. So the NDIS supports is actually going to be a list of things that are considered to be supports under the NDIS system. So if someone's trying to get something funded and it's not listed in the NDIS supports, which at the moment there isn't a comprehensive list there yet, but that will come, then you won't be able to fund it under the NDIS. And this is designed to try and eliminate certain things that have been funded under the NDIS that are really not
related to the disability specifically.
So do you want to read out that list of things that they've said there that are included that are specifically not going to be NDIS?
Oh, they're specifically not. Oh, yes, I do have that list.
Yes.
Okay, so an example of some things such as holidays, groceries, payment of utility bills, online gambling, Perfume, cosmetics, standard household appliances and white goods. These won't qualify as NDIS supports.
Yeah, now I actually find that interesting that people have... How has online gambling been supported by the NDIS? Like, really? Someone's obviously done it for it to be listed.
Creative naming there.
Yeah, so...
I guess they're all things that people without disabilities have to fund themselves.
Yeah.
So, and they're not... They don't have a disability for it, so...
Yeah. And as when I did go to that conference the other day, that was, you know, a bit of an interesting conference because it wasn't really potentially what we thought we were going to. They did have the, you know, they had some people talking about the funding of the NDIS. In fact, it was Holly Hughes, who is the opposition leader for the NDIS portfolio, and she was talking about sporting, you know, children, young children, and that, you know, they might have a disability and they might really want to play soccer, for example. Well, that's okay. You know, there might be some supports that are needed to help them play soccer, but they shouldn't be paying for their registration. They shouldn't be paying for their uniform.
Or their equipment that every other child uses as well.
Exactly. So whereas it seems to be that a lot of people are out there saying, well, no, my child has a disability. They want to play soccer. We want you to pay for the whole soccer experience. And that's not the case.
Mm.
And you can see why this is getting blown out of proportion.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. So that first thing is about the NDIS support. So that's going to be a little bit of a change, where it's a change of terminology. The other thing that they're doing within the plans, and as a plan manager, Dee, you can probably help explain this a little bit as well, is currently there's different types of funding that people get within their plans. So, you know, depending whether it's a core or if it's...
Stated support.
Yeah. So what they're going to probably try and do is bring this down to two types of funding only within the plans. One of them will be the stated supports, and they're going to be for the more expensive things, and then the rest of it will be flexible.
Yep, so they can claim different things depending on how they feel that they'll help them.
Yes, that's right.
So that there'll be an overall budget, and then they can spend that themselves flexibly to get the support and the services that they require.
Yeah, and I think this is something where the participant is saying, well, this is for our benefit, like this is our money. If we want to do something different to what the support coordinator has told us we should be doing, as long as it still fits within this NDIS support environment and it is related to the disability that they have, then, you know, they have a bit of flexibility.
They can spend the funds, yeah, how they would like.
Yeah, which I think seems like a good thing. I do feel like that is going to need management, though. I don't know how... Like, it's all nice to say, yes, it's flexible, but I'm also concerned that there will be people who will go, well, that's flexible, let's just spend the whole lot in one day. And then...
I guess that's where you need a plan manager.
I think so. then they're saying they want to get rid of plan manager, so that's...
It does give the participant a higher level of control and flexibility that they can feel that they've got control over.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm totally fine with that. Like, I'm not saying that participants shouldn't have access to, like, be able or control over how their money is spent.
I guess it comes back to another part that we read about too, that they have to be in contact with the NDIA and updating them constantly about how they're going, whether the supports are working for them, whether things need changing, and whether or not, which is another aim, is that they're ready to exit the system if they've had early intervention and they don't need the system anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Now, just talking about early intervention, this is an area that has come up a couple of times already in our discussion, that it is really important that people who... may not need to be in the system have an ability to get out of the system at some stage. So one of the things that they're doing is going forward, once this legislation goes through, is the CEO of the NDIS Commission will be, when you get accepted into the program to be a participant, they will actually provide you with a letter to say under what criteria you have been accepted.
Yep.
And there's two criteria. There's one is for a permanent disability and the other one is for early intervention. Or it could be a combination of both of them.
Yep.
But up until now, there's never been any particular statement of, hey, this is why you're, you know, this is under this section you're involved in NDIS. So the whole point of that is there will be different treatment for people under early intervention versus those who have got a permanent disability. And so there'll be different models available for both of those. The other thing we did talk about before we got on here is about how... you know, it will be based on the person and their disability, not the label
that they have. Not the label that they've received, that's right. Not the autism or the things like that, where that can be a big range of...
Yeah, and potentially a big range of funding as well.
As well, yeah.
So they want the funding to be related to that person's disability and their needs, not just the fact that they have a label and then this is the funding that would normally get applied to that.
That's
so
right.
That will be a big difference. Another thing that they're talking about is actually setting the plans for a period of time, probably being 5 years. At the moment they're 1 year, sometimes they're two. Mm-hmm. But if they can go to five, that gives a bit of certainty, first of all, to the participant, but also apparently will help with inflation creep within the plans. Now, I don't know if that's particularly beneficial to the participant, but I guess this is a way to keep a bit of control over it.
Yeah. Mm. So at the end of each period, they'll probably just get their funds rolled over and reassessed.
Yeah, so that's right, but that will be a bigger period than previously. It's probably going to be 5 years, but in saying that, the money will only come in once every year, so you're not going to get 5 years worth of budget and spend it on the first day and then have nothing for the next 4 years. So so that will be a change. What other changes do we have? I think they were the main things. I think the other area that, and you were talking about this before too, Dee, was in regard to accountability for people, particularly who are self-managed. You know, they can put in an invoice and they can claim their money. Sometimes they don't even have to put in invoices, which I find really interesting.
I guess the provider just does it not through a plan manager, and then the NDIS pay it out, so there's no traceability
of
what they've claimed, how much they've claimed.
Yeah, so and there's no real accountability as to whether this is making any benefit for the person as well. So they have put in an example in the explanatory memorandum of Ben and Bella, who are children who both have development delays. So, and that they have got, their plan is managed by their father, so it's self-managed. And essentially what they're saying is that, you know, every year their plan gets rolled over. Every year all of the funding is spent on helping these kids. But there really isn't any sort of accountability to see if that's making any difference to them.
He doesn't contact the NDIS. He doesn't talk to anybody or any agencies. He's not informing them of how the children are going, so they don't know if the funding's benefiting them.
Yeah, and so what they're suggesting now is that if this is the case under this new legislation, they can go back and say, they can basically demand a reassessment. They can also demand that the money go through a agency managed or potentially plan managed, I'm guessing.
Yeah. The funding could be withdrawn and then they'll have to reapply.
Reapply, yeah. So there's also some provisions in this new laws about actual applications, and that you can now only apply once at a time. So apparently previously you could go and attack on various different levels of
different angles.
Different angles. You could try and apply under various different areas. Now they're saying it's one application. If you don't get that, then you can go and appeal that and try and get a review done. And then if that doesn't work, then you can apply under some other, you know, provision. But you can't have them all running through it simultaneously.
Mm.
So it's one time at a time. So all that seems pretty logical to me. Yeah.
Similarly, it says too with providers, if they've been taken out of the system for some reason, they can't just automatically go and reapply doing a different thing. They all have to be assessed as well. So
exactly. So it's all about the integrity of the system. There is a bit of stuff about auditors and what their requirements
are. Yes, giving them a greater range of powers to look at things.
Yeah. So first of many, I think. I'm sure there's going to be lots more legislation coming through, but I guess we'll watch with bated breath to see what happens here.
I guess we're already seeing that because we've been notified that payments are taking longer because the NDIS are looking more for fraud and things not being right. So they've told everyone that the payments could be 2 to 3 days while they assess them, and then the payment could be anything up to 10 days before they're getting paid. So providers out there might be noticing that their payments are coming through a little bit slower.
Yeah.
So that's probably the start of this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're definitely throwing resources at this big time. I know that they had a big recruitment drive from Centrelink to move people over to the NDIS to do audit work. And I just feel like it's very necessary that this happens. I think everyone needs to keep in mind that the participant is ultimately for the benefit
the
of
the person has to benefit from it.
And I feel like sometimes that is not always the way. And yeah, just even just reading some of the examples, in all honesty, through this explanatory memorandum, we were talking about this before, like they were just basically saying people are just going and getting money. There's no real accountability for it. So it does seem to be that they're talking about people who are self-managed, and that, again, I mean, we're plan managers. We know what we need to do from our level, but if someone's self-managed, what's to stop them from making up invoices or just doing whatever they want to get that money out?
I guess it's like any system, isn't it? After a period of time, it all needs a review, and this is the time that they're going to start to do that.
Yeah, so it's all going to be busy, busy days ahead at the NDIS. is there anything else you wanted to add, Dee? What have you got in there?
No, I don't think so.
I've been reading voraciously about this, but
I think that's it.
Yeah, so we will keep you updated. Again, you know, general business stuff, if you do want to listen to the Accidental Bookkeeper podcast, whether you're an NDIS provider or not, one of the things we want to do is try and get businesses working better. So you can listen to our normal podcast, and I'm sure you'll get some tips out of that too. We're not always just about NDIS, but we are trying to be specific to NDIS for at least once every month.
We are, and these changes will affect providers' businesses.
Yeah, definitely. So, but if you're doing the right thing, I don't know that you have anything to be worried about. I think this is aimed at the people who are not doing the right thing.
You may just need to refine some of the things that you do and maybe keep better paperwork,
yeah,
bookwork about it. But
yeah. In saying that, I think most people who are genuine good providers would have that paperwork.
That's right, and they're there for a reason because they want to help.
Yeah. Mm. All right, well, we might leave it at that for today, Dee, because we've got a busy couple of days ahead of us with lots of things going on. If you are interested in our plan management service, Opal Plan Management, you can find us. Would you like to give us the website, Dee?
I can. It's www.opalpm.com.au. You can also find us on Facebook.
Yeah, and you can also join if you're from the southern. Do you want to talk a shout out about our Facebook group?
Yeah, the Far South Coast. We have a special Facebook group for providers or for participants if anybody wants to jump in. And yeah, it's a nice little group of people.
Yeah, so we are mainly operating in that area, but we can operate anywhere. And Dee and I are in Sydney, so we're more than happy to help in Sydney as well. But yeah, Far South, Snowy Monaro River area.
We'll have to look that up so we can say it correctly next time.
But anyway, yeah, we might even get Joel to put a little link in the show notes.
That'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joel.
Yes, thanks, Joel. All right, well, have a lovely week, everyone. Thank you for joining me again, Dee. That wasn't so bad.
I don't know about that.
No, you're doing fine. I'm sure there'll be some more topics coming up in the next couple of weeks that we can talk about. But I think what we would really like to do is to start to interview a few, provide like a few different services out there to try and help people understand what's out there.
And yes, you can hear about how their businesses are going and what their difficulties are that they face.
The challenges, because I think everyone faces challenges in business, and the challenges in the NDIS space can be quite unique. All right, well, have a good week, and please follow us on all of those socials that Dee has talked about, and talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Money Honey Media would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which this podcast is recorded and produced. We pay our respects to elders both past, present, and future, and to all Aboriginal people who are listening to this podcast.